So a very, very good morning, and welcome to Chai FM. So, one of the stories that we were speaking about a little bit earlier, and it was something I wanted to address with you, was this horrible story about an Israel flight attendant. They were handing out, you know, they hand out those little envelopes, and you put your loose change in it, and you hand them in, and this flight attendant, it was on the flight between Tel Aviv and Eilat, was repeatedly removing those envelopes and keeping it for himself.
Helping himself.
Right, but of course it raises the question, and it raises the concern that probably that you must deal with all the time, not the stealing of envelopes, but the fact is that your success is actually dependent on a number of factors, one of which is people being confident that the very money that they're giving you is going to the right place and going to a good cause. Now, I know that you are very transparent in terms of your numbers and in terms of your. In fact, I had a meeting with somebody, and I often repeat the story. It was one of your personal, I don't know what you call them, relationship managers. And they came and they gave me a gift, which always makes me uncomfortable. But she gave it to me and said, I just want to tell you, here's a gift for you, blah, de, blah. It was donated. And that made me feel better. One of the few rabbis that I've thrown out of my office walked into my office to collect money and gave me a bottle of Blue Label as a gift. It irritated me. I threw him out and said, look, we're not compatible, especially because it was a blend. But never mind that. Never mind that. You know, it was before my whiskey pretentious whiskey days. It was just on other issues. That's not a message I want to receive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you do that? How do you continue to do that?
Thanks, Howard. And Howard, it's always been a dream of mine to talk to both Howards at once.
Oh, sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. It's good to be in studio, and thanks for having me. I think, yeah, you've touched on such a critical issue. It's trust is at the heart of our work, in the space that we're in. And I often think about it because, you know, the Chev is so dependent on this community to survive. I think probably more than two-thirds of money raised in this community is going to one of the Chevra Kedisha organizations. It's a phenomenal number, and it's a phenomenal responsibility. And, you know, thinking through that trust relationship, you know, and trying to understand it, in my mind, it goes back right to the beginning, to 1888, when literally a couple of concerned guys got together in a bar and decided we needed to build an organization to deal with burial. And I think our roots being in burial has kind of given us that sense that we've got to, you know, trust is at the heart of what you do. You're dealing with real work. It's serious stuff, serious responsibilities. You've got tight, you know, deadlines. You want to do things quickly, efficiently, properly. Families are at a really sensitive time. And I think we take pride in having built that relationship over 130 years. And if you look through the history of the organization, it's peppered with moments of incredible trust. And one of my favorite things is I keep the minute books open from the 1920s and 1930s in my office. And each week I try to read what was discussed back then.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
what
it's fascinating to see the similarities. Firstly, you know, to see that the organization is organized, has all these, you know, references on hand. Mm. And secondly, to see how at amazing times the organization was turned to. So, you know, the founding of Arcadia, long before the Chev was involved, there was seed money raised in 1903. They needed to place that money somewhere in trust, and it was given to the Chevra Kedisha to look after until.
Right, so they were known to be the, if you want to keep money safe, that's where you could,
And that's generally been my sense with our donors in the community. People work hard. They want to know that their money's going to an organization that will look after it, that will make sure that it's spent wisely, that will make sure that it's spent efficiently. And I think, you know, you refer to the gifts. I mean, I remember this, you know, quite vividly, because we spoke about the fact that, you know, these are our clients, these are our customers, so to speak, and it's nice to give somebody something. And we had a long debate about, is it moral and is it justified for us to be spending donor money on donors? How are they going to feel about that? And so we took the hard route, which was to say, let's go around to the community and let's ask people for gifts. We can ask people for things. Let's ask people to donate gifts.
Right. And then they know what they're giving it to.
Absolutely.
Then it's very, very simple. If I'm giving an object, then I know what I'm giving. If I'm sponsoring something at one of your dinners, I know what I'm giving
it
to. It's my choice.
Absolutely. And I think we found that, you know, it was easy to appeal to donors to sponsor these things.
Absolutely.
And we found the right occasions. And you were mentioning the whiskeys. I just think about, you know, at certain stage of our contributions, certain of our pillars would get a bottle of platinum platinum whiskey, you know. So right. Now this is coming from Johnny Walker. How are we arranging it? Well, we go to our friends at Norman Goodfellas. We talk to them. We explain the project.
Right.
We get partnership, and then our donors don't feel, you know, that sense of inappropriateness. So for us, that governance is huge. We hold ourselves accountable every single day. We have hard conversations about, you know, how best to spend the money that we trusted with. And most importantly, we understand that it's not our money. It's yours.
I think that's very well dealt with. What concerns me is something a little, different to that is, are we a community that is sliding into further and further crisis? If we had this exact same interview last year, this time, and now we're comparing the Rosh Hashanah 2018 with Rosh Hashanah 2017 versus, you know, 2015, whatever year we choose, are things more difficult for people, or is it just a perception that that things are tough because we like to kvetch a little bit?
It's probably a bit of both.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with a good kvetch.
No, we love that. We do that all the time.
It's part of my, if you want to work in a community organization, right. You have to be open to a kvetch here and then.
Exactly.
But no, I think, I do think we're in a tougher space. I think certainly from our perspective, we're exposed to the macroeconomic factors of the country in a big way. We're exposed to the political uncertainty that exists in the country. So, you know, people feel unsafe. Maybe immigration increases, which we know it has over the year, you know, in the broader South African context and certainly in the Jewish community. Now that, you know, we're kind of get hit from both sides, right? You lose donors.
In fact, I actually want to stop you right there because I'm just realizing as we're talking, most of the Jewish community don't even need to have an introduction to who the Chevra Kedisha is because it's very, very much part of our lives. But around about 50% of our listeners on the morning show are non-Jewish. They would have come across this name perhaps, but just for the sake of somebody who might not know who the Chevra Kedisha is, give me a 30-second headline as to who you are. I'm chatting to Saul Thompson. He's the CEO of the Chevra Kedisha. Give us the headline, what type of budget you have, how many people, how many institutions you are supporting.
Sure. So the Chevra Kedisha is a welfare umbrella organization for the Jewish community, dealing with all matters from cradle to coffin, literally. Mm-hmm. We can be dealing with babies through our orphanage, and we can be dealing with old folk in some of our residential homes that are, you know, 104. So we deal with cradle to coffin welfare needs. We operate at a budget of 300 million rand, of which probably just about 200 has to be raised this year. 200 million has to be raised. So the vast majority of our budget is achieved through donors. We don't have a fee income base. Very little support from government, state departments. We service about 11,000 people in the community. So one in every four or five are getting some form of support from the organization. And, of course, we're still at the end of that, a burial society. We were a burial society for 110 years of our history. In the last 20 years, burials become less than 5% of our activities and less than 5% of our budget. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, a social services organization addressing every need, which is pretty unique in, you know, to South Africa because most Jewish communities living in first world countries don't have a need for an organization like ours because they're state services. So I often say we're 80% government work, replacement work.
It's always what I say to people when they say they're going, you know, life in South Africa is so much cheaper, you know, than let's say living in Israel or somewhere else. And I always say, but here we are paying for private security and we have to pay for private schooling and we have to pay for private medical aid. If we don't add all of these factors to our lives, so you might not, property price versus property price might be very much cheaper in South Africa than elsewhere, but the problem is we've got a tremendous amount of services that we need to pay for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look at our state welfare services, old age pensions, it's something like 1,800 rand a month, welfare grant is probably even slightly less. So people have to live on sub 2,000 rand. It's untenable given, you know, the lifestyle or the, you know, the areas that we live in. And so our average welfare grant is probably four or five times that. So again, we have to step in and make up for the deficit.
So you're saying one out of every four or five people within the Jewish community is utilizing the Chevra's, the Chevra Kedisha's, welfare system in one way or another.
In some way, yeah. We're reaching about 11,000 people a year through our services.
Have you tracked that? In other words, what was that number last year or the year before? Or is this a relatively new way that you've started, benchmarking?
Well,
because I haven't seen that number before.
Yeah. So look, we track, you know, our residential services very closely.
Sure.
And the that variable is not the biggest, but what we've seen in the last year is that the need on our welfare and social services. So these are people living in the community, several thousand people who are dependent on the organization for food, accommodation, education, healthcare, you know, the basic of necessities. That's kind of where we step in. And we have seen, you asked about the year in review, we have seen an increase in demand on all services. Certainly the welfare needs, as I said, you know, donors moving offshore affects our income line, and a greater need locally affects our expense line. You know, it's not a great business to invest in. And in tough times, it gets harder for us. We've got a great and responsive community, and we always see that, you know, I'm always reassured because in tough times, I kind of get the sense that the community knows that the Chev is doing, you know, the real hard work, the basic necessities, and chooses to redirect more donations towards the basic necessities. There are a lot of great organizations in this community, but there's no organization looking after the absolute basic necessities like we do. A lot of, you know, wonderful support organizations that are out there.
Right.
But in tough times, you've got to make sure people have food to eat. And I think that's where we're at. We've seen definitely an increase in the need and the demand on financial assistance. And also, I think the correlation of that onto the need for social services. So more emotional trauma, more stress in the home, more family, you know, breakdown, more marriage challenges, more, you know, abuse issues. All of these things tend to grow when there's pressure on the economic climate and people are, you know, so it makes sense that the Chev looks after both financial and social services, because for us, it's, and this is critical, it's not almsgiving. It's not just handing out money, and, you know, not seeing the person. It's understanding what's driving the need and trying to address the root issue. And I think that's really something that differentiates us, that we try as hard as we can to work with our clients, some form of either financial or emotional rehabilitation.
What's interesting to me, and it might be completely anecdotal, so I don't know if it reflects the reality, is some time ago, I used to receive a lot of requests personally for financial assistance, and the line was always, I've been to the Chev and they won't help me.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot less of, and invariably there was a story behind it, it wasn't that the Chev wasn't helping. Yeah. There was a genuine, issue there, and perhaps it was drugs, and perhaps there was gambling issues, and they genuinely, every occasion, certainly that I looked into, there was some kind of an issue. I've seen that a lot less. I'm not getting those comments that, well, the Chev won't help me. Are you finding your processes have improved to the point, or has the information filtered through ultimately to people?
I actually think that the community has become more responsible with that. What I mean, you know, you will often hear it, and I say it unequivocally, there should be no Jew in this town who doesn't have food to eat or a place to live. It's impossible. If we know about it, we will service it. And if we're not servicing it, there's a good reason, you know, that we're dealing with some, as you mentioned, you know, maybe drug related issue. Maybe, you know, as we say, we use the, you know, tough love and try help people to grow and not kind of foster, you know, inappropriate behaviors or whatever. But that shouldn't exist. But we've been trying to talk to our donors and the community to be responsible. Giving money away is a responsibility. And I think, you know, I spoke about trust. I think maybe one of the beauties of this community, but also one of the challenges, is we're very trusting.
100%.
Lots of organizations. We don't know. It's the donor's responsibility to insist on transparency. I want to know how much of that money I'm giving is going to the bottom line. You know, if you're in the distributing school books business, if that's your charity, I'm trying to pick something that I won't offend anybody. How much of that budget is going to school books?
It's not so you're going to offend somebody, but it doesn't matter. That's fine. We do this all the time.
Just make sure, you know, if your budget's, you know, 2 million rand for school books, you know, is 500,000 actually going to books or is 1.8 million going to books?
100%.
Ask the charities that you support those questions. You know, we put out our annual report because we try to be an industry leader in that sense of transparency. We put out our fundraising costs. All our ratios are out out there for people. You know, you can look, go onto our website. You can find all that data there. There's nothing to hide. And I think if you're a donor in this community, firstly to an organization, you have a right to that information. And if you, and our secondly, what we found with our donors is the more we educate around the challenge we face when people give private support, because we don't know what that is. So how do we rehabilitate a family when there's other sources of income that we're not aware of? Sometimes, you know, we do need the help of partners, of family members, of, you know, shuls or whatever, but then they work with us, they share the information. We have a holistic view of that client, and then we're able to, you know, affect our work a lot better.
And you have to, of course, prevent people from double dipping.
Yeah, look, it's, again, if information is shared and we work together as a community, that's achievable. And there are many organizations in this community that do that. You know, you'll find, I'll just mention the Shoshana Foundation, which is, I don't know if you know, Rob Katz is, drives this. And, you know, Rob won't, you often tells me, I won't make a move without checking with the chair first. Well, it's empowering because we can work together then. We love the help. We appreciate the help. We, you know, the more good work that's done, the better.
The better.
But let's work as a community together on these issues.
So, it's the aunt of time. It's a time to give.
Absolutely.
A lot of your donations must be around this time of year.
Absolutely. Look, Rosh Hashanah is our peak season. We're very grateful to this time of year and what our responsibilities are, and we rely on this time of year to see us through kind of a little bit of the beach time in December when people are away, and January, a very, very kind of difficult stage for us. So our income peaks, but our expenses stay pretty flat. So, yeah, big drive for us, you know, around Rosh Hashanah. And
how do I send Rosh Hashanah cards through the Chev?
Howie, you should know that.
Yeah.
we've been doing our cards we're the first ones to introduce it. We send 58,000 cards now.
Amazing.
Per season.
Just mine.
Yeah, it's half yours.
No, that's your list of people who are sending.
You go to helpinghands.co.za and it's a self-managed system, and the cards, you know, we work very hard to make.
Baba, on my live read, it says go to www.jhbchev.co.za.
No, not for e-cards. E-cards is helpinghands.co.za. General donations, jhbchev.
Okay.
You want to book for Matilda. Then you go to...
So let me give you my live read right now. With Rosh Hashanah fast approaching, the Chevra Kedisha would like to take the opportunity to wish our wonderful community a Shana Tova Umetuka. Your donation at this time of the year is invaluable to us in order to assist thousands of people in need of support over this Rosh Hashanah period. Donations can easily be made by visiting our website or sending e-cards, which allows you to send good Yom Tov wishes to family worldwide. For one donation amount, you can send to as many friends and family as you wish. Visit www.jhbchev.co.za. On behalf of all of our beneficiaries, we thank you for your kindness in making 11,000 lives sweeter together. So, you know, if that's for a regular donation, if you want to send an e-card.
Yeah, you go to helpinghands.co.za, but I think JHBchev will also have a link.
I'm sure they'll have
e-cards.
A link.
Yeah, it's,
all right. So we're going to leave that as is.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you.
You didn't need me. Right. Okay. Well, I think we really did. Saul Thompson, he is the CEO of the Chevra Kedisha, doing unbelievable work and may be blessed to continue to do so. And of course, we encourage all of our listeners to get involved and, make sure that your money goes to the right cause and the right people. So, Saul, keep it up and have a Shana Tova.
Shana Tova, thanks for having me. Great show.